Welcome to Locked On Pac-12. We are going to be giving you another recap. This time it's Arizona State in their season opener. We'll also give you a preview into their next game versus UNLV. A lot to talk about. We will be joined by Locked On Sun Devils co-host Connor Drios. He's new to the show for you guys, so can't wait to introduce you all.
Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Connor? Welcome to the show. This is your first time joining Locked On Pac-12, and we're excited to have you. We've obviously had your co-host, Richie Bradshaw, on. How has your first week of recordings been?
Podcasting is a little bit newer for us. However, being Arizona State Sun Devil experts, definitely not new to us. We've been through the team with the highs and lows over the last couple of years. So just talking about a sport and a team in which we love has been super easy for us to transition to, and can't wait to pump out some more content for the rest of the Locked On listeners.
I hear you there. For those of you that, you know, are into football, period, the NFL season is also beginning and nobody covers it like the Locked On Podcast Network. August 30th through September 8th, Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview is taking you through every team and every division with the help of Odyssey's Ross Tucker and Jason LaConfora. This is September 8th, so this will be the last day that it'll be going on, but obviously the recordings will be up for you to check out. So follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Connor, I'm super excited to have you here. Again, like we said, you're new. And one thing I do love is that we have more co-hosts now, so we can have more co-hosts on this show and give some new faces to talk about Pac-12 football, what's going on. You seem like an expert on ASU Sun Devils, so super excited to dive in with you. This weekend was their season opener, and, you know, there's been a lot of high expectations for the ASU Sun Devils, despite, you know, some things that they've had to deal with during the offseason. For you, let's start it off with this. This season opener, did it live up to your expectations?
Let's just say I'm glad the game was played on Thursday and not Saturday. Hopefully less viewership, which is not what the Pac-12 wants, but it was a week one game, right? You go into the game with expectations, especially it's not conference play. It's not necessarily a big name in Southern Utah. No disrespect to Southern Utah. But after you go through all the practices and you start to read articles and you hear things coming out of practices and whatnot, you start to get an identity of who the team is. And after watching that game, it was kind of everything that I had heard. The defense was great. The offense was very run heavy, even though they have a potential star in Jaden Daniels, or at least a budding star. And unfortunately, I've heard there's been some kicking woes as well, and that was on full display within about 30 seconds or so. They do get another non-conference game going into next week, so there's things that they need to work on. Hopefully they can correct those at least going into week two.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's one of those things that matter a lot right now, considering there's some teams that will be starting conference play this next weekend, USC, Stanford. What are some things that you say for you stood out in a good way in this game?
I'll at least echo the defense. Unfortunately, the defensive line may not be what we want it to be, but the back seven between their linebackers and their corners, their safeties, so far exactly as they were advertised. Darian Butler was one of the stars of the game, if not the star, came away with two interceptions. I believe two pass defends and several tackles as well, just by himself. I believe they had four turnovers as a unit, especially timely turnovers. Some of those coming in on their side of the field as well. I'll also point to the run game. It wasn't necessarily a secret that was going to be one of the things that was going to carry them this season. They only played four games last season, but in those four games, you got to see Rashad White, Daniel Nagata, as well as Chip Trainum just absolutely carry this team on the ground. And that was in full effect against Southern Utah.
Okay. Well, still to come, we're going to dive into the not so great stuff that happened in the game against Southern Utah. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the matchup coming up versus UNLV. For those of you that are into betting, I definitely want to talk to you about betonline.ag. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. You can get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo equals make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Use promo code LOCKEDON for more perks, and BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Now, if you're into daily fantasy sports, Stat Hero is definitely for you. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really surprising? The game is rigged against you. So here's how it works with Stat Hero. They show you their lineups and dare you to beat them. It's you versus the house. It's a head-to-head fantasy matchup, basically. You name your stakes, winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time, and no one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is the daily fantasy sports book the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon to sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. Okay, Connor. So now it's the unfortunate time where we have to talk about the bad, which, I mean, you know, it happens. It's the first game of the season. There's kinks to get out, things you want to work on as the season progresses and before you actually get into that conference play. And like you said, luckily they'll be facing UNLV, who is a non-conference team, another kind of like tune-up opportunity for them before they get to, you know, games that, I mean, they all matter, but like truly matter, you know, when it comes to the conference. So when it came to ASU, what are some things that you saw that they that you feel like this week they need to really hone in on and work on?
So I will echo really quick, even though that was the first game of the year, all the coaching staff, I think they're looking for is something to build off of, right? Whether you had some train wreck moments here and there and some highlight plays, I think if the coaching staff as a whole can look at the tape and say, we at least have this to work with, that's going to be good enough. So I think they at least have that. My notes, however, from the game, the bad, or at least the improvement section, that was so much more filled out than the good. And it's not so much that they didn't have good things going for the team. It's just you expected the game to be a little bit more in their favor. I want to say the over-under for that team was set at like, or it was Arizona State at like 45.5 or 44.5. Which was the most in the NCAA for week one. They didn't hit that, which may have been lofty as a whole, but overall didn't hit that mark. As far as what they need to improve on, they had 13 penalties in the game. 13. Luckily, in their case, 11 of those were in the first half, which is a totally different conversation. So hopefully Herm got in their heads and they were able to turn that around in the second half. But if you have 13 penalties a game or even something remotely close to that, you're not going to survive a lot of these games, especially once we get to a situation where it matters. The offense, while we can't say it was necessarily bad, there was, I think, 16 pass attempts as a whole. Jaden Daniels was very efficient, completed 10 of 12 passes for, I believe, 132 passing yards. So if you at least heard maybe his completion percentage or what his rating was, you would have thought Jaden Daniels was the star of the show. but that wasn't exactly the case. He had no passing touchdowns, but also no interceptions. And it's not so much that Jaden Daniels can't pass the ball. We don't see a lot of it. So when ASU is going to be in a situation later this season where maybe they're playing from behind, their running backs are great, but they can't carry the entire team if you can't get the ball downfield.
Now, I have a quick question before you continue on, just focusing on Jaden. I do know that that was something that everyone was expecting more from him coming into this season. Do you feel like it's a matter of possibly just first game jitters? Because, you know, when he talked at Pac-12 Media Day, he mentioned all the things that he'd been working on. And that was one thing that he was truly focusing on and getting more comfortable with as well.
You know, I'll point back to the efficiency. If he wasn't efficient and his stats didn't look good, I think there'd be more cause for concern. The fact that he at least did, he produced with what he was given, or at least the pass attempts that he did have, that's at least a good sign. They weren't in a situation where they had to play any catch up, and they were running the ball so effectively, they didn't have to put the ball in his hands in order to win. I think as a fan base, you just want to know that he can do it. So when the situation comes up, that he at least has that in his bag to be able to use, right? We did see some good opportunities from their tight end, Curtis Hodges. And it's not so much that their wide receivers are bad. They're just unproven. I think there's talent there, especially when you have guys with the names of like Andre Johnson or Chad Johnson Jr., right? It's enough to get excited about. I'm throwing in some other players like Ricky Pearsall in there as well. So as long as Jaden has the opportunities, which he will, it's a long season. Hopefully they're playing more than their four games that they did last year. So there's going to be an opportunity for Jaden when the play starts to break down. Does he just try to run the ball to pick up a couple extra yards? Or can he keep his eyes upfield to hit somebody for a deep strike and hit someone for 25, 30 yards when they need to?
Okay. I want to say, like you said, it is a matter of Jaden getting the receivers involved in the offense. Again, were there plays available for that? Do you feel like the defense of Southern Utah made it to where it'd be difficult for them to actually, you know, make some plays for the receivers? Were the receivers able to get open and Jaden just didn't see those looks? Like, what would you say if you could pinpoint the actual issue?
I think it was just more play calling. I think they wanted to run the ball more, and that's exactly what they did, right? Yeah. I looking back at the game a second time, there were some option plays in which Jaden could have thrown and just simply chose not to. And it's not that those plays went for a loss. He did pick up some extra yardage on the ground. Which is great. You want to have that dual threat quarterback and keep the defense honest. I will just say that the opportunities were there for him to flash a little bit more with his arm, and he just chose not to. Whether that was because he didn't have to, or if that was just because he saw a better opportunity on the ground, I'm not quite sure. As we start to get through the next couple weeks, that question's going to come back up. And hopefully that answer is just, it's going to change for, hey, did you see that play Jaden Daniels made? It's not that he so much has to pass a ton more in the offense. I think the fan base would just like to see him throw downfield a little bit more.
Okay. Would you say there was possibly an issue of a little underestimating Southern Utah, so playing down maybe to what they could actually play up to?
I would like to say that when you play an opponent such as Southern Utah, and you at least have the hype that ASU or that Arizona State is carrying going into this season, that just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But it does week one of every college football season. It happens every single year. Yeah. Ironically enough, I think it's 13 years ago we played UNLV. The last time we hosted them, I don't remember what UNLV, what they were the underdogs for, but they ended up beating us in that game in a one-handed catch. I believe in overtime.
Yes.
So I know that for the fans that were at that game, or at least got to watch it 13 years ago, it's going to be on their minds. And even though it's two totally different teams, different coaching staffs, there's nothing similar except for the logo that they wear.
Right.
It's going to be on people's minds. So it's going to be a good week too, for sure.
Okay. Well, we're going to dive into UNLV talk just in a second. Before we get into that, let me let you know about Built Bar. Built Bar is a great protein bar. It's tasty. It's healthy. It has 9 delicious flavors ranging from coconut to cherry to chocolate. So there's something for everyone. if you are someone who's adventurous and like to try them all, there's a mix box for you where you can get two of each of the 9 flavors. So definitely something for everyone. Then, you know, like I said, it's tasty, but it's also healthy. And that's the best part about it, because 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs, all in one bar for you. Great for after workouts, great for a good snack, great for if you're just trying to eat better. If you are interested, go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Now, Connor, this is the game that it seems like a lot of Sun Devil fans are probably looking forward to. You were just talking about how the last time ASU faced UNLV, they lost on a kind of a sucky situation. I guess I don't know if you would call it a rivalry or if just like this is a rival matchup considering the last game. But what are your thoughts and feelings about the game before we even dive into the like actual statistics and logistics of it all?
I think it just depends on who you ask. If you ask a newer fan, or to be honest, even this Sun Devil team, if they remember that game, I think they're going to say no, just because they may not have been a fan at the time, or maybe they didn't grow up as an Arizona State fan. But for people who have been loyal to the team for a decade plus, I think it's definitely fresh in the minds. I don't know if I would go as far as to say a rivalry, but I think it's kind of a revenge game that like some people are aware of and others just totally don't know at all.
Yeah. Okay. It kind of shows there's been a sting there because it's taken 13 years for them to face each other again. Maybe lucky 13. Hopefully the luck is on the side of ASU here. ASU is coming into the game 1-0. UNLV is coming into the game 0-1. So right there, there might be a little more confidence on the side of ASU. ASU did beat Southern Utah 41-14. So even despite all the things that you said were bad, I would probably think their confidence is in a better space than some of these other Pac-12 schools who struggled a little bit this weekend. Let's talk about UNLV and coming into this game, what it's going to look like for them. Like, what are their, I guess, the tough things that ASU needs to be concerned about?
It's kind of similar with Southern Utah. I feel like they're gonna come to this game thinking they're going to be overlooked, right? They're 0-1 versus a 1-0 Arizona State team coming off a good win, at least on the stat sheet. For Arizona State, let's call it a gift. They get a gift of a second game to take the mistakes or at least areas they need to improve, and they get another shot at it. What's going to be interesting for me is UNLV actually is going to have a switch at quarterback. Justin Rogers, I believe, started the game for them last week, and they're going with Doug. His name is escaping me. I think it's Doug Brumfield is going to be starting this game. So maybe they may have some tape on him. They may not. So they could be getting a fresh look at a new quarterback from UNLV. But it's not a game you want to go into to be able to just underestimate your opponent, right? Every single week you have an opportunity to set a precedent, especially in the Pac-12 or the Pac-12 South, where first place is totally up for grabs, right? There might be some good teams in some other conferences, especially with the South going 5-1 this last weekend. But you can't afford to fall behind anyone, especially if they're going to play like that the rest of the season.
Yeah, I will say this: USC and USC has some kinks to work out. They had a great game. UCLA is probably looking like a lot better team than people expected this season. And so the competition is high in the Pac-12 South, but it is there, like you said, very open right now because all three teams are USC, UCLA, and ASU are 1-0. ASU is one of those teams that has been considered the underdog, but the sleeper of the Pac-12 South and who some teams feel like is the team to beat this season. According to you, you feel like they have not lived up to that quite just yet. But I do think within the next few weeks, we will know more about all the Pac-12 South teams and can probably line up who we actually think will, you know, come out on top. I'm interested in seeing how this game comes out with UNLV because not only is ASU taking a burden on that you know, was way before their time 13 years ago, but they also have things in their mindset that they want to accomplish in this coming season, especially, like you said, in the Pac-12 South competition, trying to come out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. And until, in my opinion, until ASU is in first place at the end of the season, people are going to talk, people are going to talk all they want, right? I think the talent is there. I think if you can have a civil conversation against somebody who may not be a biased fan, the talent's there, especially on both sides of the ball. Hopefully their special teams doesn't get too in the way of that over the next couple weeks. But I think once they start to get into some of these games, especially once they play like a UCLA, that's going to set a precedence for the team and hopefully get them a little bit of momentum going. I will say, and I don't want to leave too many receipts out there for people to come back against me on Twitter, but it's a Chip Kelly-led team for UCLA. I mean, that's definitely a great win, mostly for the conference against LSU, so I'm at least happy for them there. But we'll see. It's been a week or 2 weeks, depending on some of these schools, so a lot of time left in the season for sure.
For sure. Okay, Connor, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to speaking to you and Richie all throughout the season. We'll probably have to have you guys on together at some point. Might be fun just to see how you guys interact and everything. But appreciate you joining us. You guys can follow Connor Drios at C Drios. You see that it's right there for you. If you're listening, though, it's at C Drios. That's at C D R E O S. And then you can follow me at _ Cindy Robinson and follow Locked On Pac-12 at LO_Pac-12. Then make sure you follow both podcasts, Locked On Pac-12 podcast and the Locked On Sun Devils podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can get all your ASU Sun Devil news you need from Connor and Richie. They will keep you guys up to date. And then they'll be on here throughout the weeks giving you, you know, the weekly updates, recaps, previews, everything we need for this season. I'm super excited to have them joining the Locked On team. Make sure you guys give them love. If you're into betting, make sure you check out the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. Other than that, make sure you stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.